Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
It's time for Real Estate Radio with Angela and Howard. Angela and Howard talk about what's new in real estate and answer your buying and selling questions. To participate in today's show, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. And now, here are Angela and Howard.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everyone is having a great week. Had a great week. Here is Howard. And unfortunately, Angela is not with us today. She's a bit under the weather, but I am not alone because I have someone else named Howard. His name is Paul Howard, and he has been with us on the show, I think, 4 times in the last 9 years. He is the owner of FloridaLandlord.com. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Howard. Good to see you. Sorry, Angela's not here.
Yes. Well, she, I'm sure, is listening because she always hears great stuff from Paul, and Paul has been a vendor of ours that Angela and I have used because he gives such great information on everything related to how to be a great landlord. So we're going to talk a lot about that throughout the show today. Why don't you give a little overview of what Florida Landlord is, Paul?
Yeah, that's almost hard to describe. We really just are here to help private landlords primarily. We work quite a bit with property managers as well. Landlording is an easy business, but every once in a while you run into issues that you're just not sure how to handle, and we try to help landlords make their way through that maze.
Okay. Well, before we, you know, some people that are listening think, well, I'm not a landlord. Why am I going to listen to the show today? Well, you know someone that is a tenant. So we're going to talk about tenants today as well and how to make sure that your landlord is treating you properly and what to do if you're, if that person doesn't. Also, you're going to hear some great stories about what some bad landlords have done, what some good landlords have done, and what some bad tenants have done. So it's going to be a very informative and entertaining show. And what we like to do, of course, all the time is give some infotainment. So that's what Angela and I like to say about our show, is that we are infotainment. So we want to remind everyone what the phone number is. And like Angela likes to say, it's 904. To talk to us, you have to go 222-8255. So if you want to ask us any questions about landlording or just about anything related to real estate, then give us a call. By the way, interest rates hit a new low this week for the 14th time this year. So Paul asked me downstairs before we came up, he says, how's real estate? It's like fantastic. And Paul, you said you already knew that that there's a very low inventory.
Yeah, that's what we're hearing everywhere. And all that does is push the prices up. And with low interest rates, you're not going to have an environment like this forever.
Yes. So and people always need a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a couple of businesses that there will always be a need for, and one is housing and the other is food, and probably another is medical, and you and I are in some of those businesses here, so it's great that we have a radio show where we can give people information about what is going on. And even if you can't afford a home, you still need to live someplace. You can't always live with your parents. You can't always live with your children, so sometimes you rent property. So if you are a landlord, you can't just pick the first person off of the street, right?
Well, good luck if you do.
Good luck if you do. And, you know, when I was a neophyte being a landlord some 15 years ago, I didn't do a very good job of finding out if the people were very or would be a very good tenant. So the first thing you should do is ask some questions before you ever go through a formal process. So do you have some suggestions on what to ask a person when they call over the phone and say, hey, I saw your sign out front, and I need a place to live. So what questions do you think a landlord should ask to kind of initially eliminate or pre-qualify someone.
Exactly. First thing is, we really urge you not to ad lib it on the phone. You should have a telephone script so that you are asking the same questions of everyone. Discrimination is an issue these days, and you could easily accidentally mess that up. But there are basically four things that you're looking for when you're looking for a tenant, and you want to find out those things in the first 90 seconds of a phone call. Why waste time with someone who can't afford the rent, for example?
So where do I find this script?
It's at our website. That's flalandlord.com. There's quite a bit of resource there that is free to anyone who wants it. But the script is designed to sort of stay in control of the conversation and to find out the four things. First of all, did they make enough money? Where have they been living? Meaning, have they who are their previous landlords? Do they have any pets? And how many people are going to be living there? Those are the four basic questions that I want to know the answers to, because if they have three pit bulls, I may not want to. That may not be able to put them in my house. Or if there's eight people living in the property or that want to live there, that's not going to work for a two-bedroom. So it's better to eliminate those things right off the top. And then if they are qualified on the basis of that, then go on to the next step, which would be applications and so forth.
Okay. So, well, let's examine those four questions. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed as a landlord to eliminate people based on the breed of the pet that they have, or the type of pet that they have?
The landlord is the one who sets the company policy with respect to pets. It should be clearly outlined in the rental contract. And if you want a policy that says no animals, then that's how it is. Now, there'd be some narrow exceptions, and that would be service animals, for example, which we may talk about a little bit later, and more recently, emotional support animals, which are a little bit more controversial, but nevertheless, we have to let those in. Otherwise, if you want to have a no pets policy, you're perfectly legally you can do that.
Okay. And you said the number of people. So how is that determined? Or again, is that determined by the individual landlord themselves?
I think, yes, the individual landlord would control that, but the industry standard is in this not really cut in stone, but basically two heartbeats per bedroom is the standard. So if you have a two-bedroom home, you're going to have a limit of about four people. You might go to five if you've got a small child, something like that. But you'd say you definitely don't want 10 people in a two-bedroom apartment.
And you also mentioned, do they qualify financially? So what is the recommended financial part of this?
That may be the most important of all. My personal recommendation is the rent should never be more than one-third of the net take-home pay. So if the rent is $1,000, then at the very least they need to have a net take-home of about $3,000. But then you need to look a little bit further. If they've got, two big car payments and a number of other debts, then you may have to push that up a little bit. What you want to be sure you do is keep that tenant out of trouble. Don't let them get into something that they can't afford.
Okay. Sounds good. So those are the three big things before you ask for, you said where did they live?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important? If they live with their parents or they lived in XYZ or they're moving from another state, what does that really give you?
The main idea is I want to be able to talk to at least the last two previous landlords. No one knows better what my experience is going to be than the last two guys who rented to them.
Okay. All right, very good. Well, we're going to get more into that because there's a lot of fraud going on with, and you had a big smile on your face when I said that. So we're going to talk a lot about fraud and how you really verify what somebody gives you, because somebody could give their parents' name, somebody could give their friend's name, and how do you verify where they lived, what they're telling you?
The way we put it is the very worst tenants are the very best liars.
The very worst tenants are the best liars.
Yes.
So, can you help iron that out?
Yes, sir.
Figure out whether they're lying or not?
Most of the time, yeah.
Most of the time. All right. Hey, we're going to answer your questions here on Real Estate Radio with Angela and Howard, or today it's Howard and Paul Howard. So it's got to be a great show if there are two Howards on the show. Stay with us, everyone. We'll be right back. Call us with your questions at 222-8255. Good morning, WBOB listeners. It's your realtor on the radio, Howard Vergalis of Watson Realty Corp. Angela and I want to thank you for tuning in with us. It's been such a great pleasure to be on the radio with you, giving you advice on buying and selling, as well as answering your questions on the air. Thank you so much for the trust that you have in us as professional, experienced realtors with over 20 years of combined experience. We want you to know that when it's time to sell your home, we want to be your realtor. We will focus on your home, your family, and your time frame. Our team will customize a marketing plan to give you the best exposure to get you the best price and have the best selling experience possible. Whether it's a condo or a house, a short sale or a regular sale, a $200,000 home or a mansion, you will get the same great service. Call us at 421-7950 and join the multitudes of others that have experienced the Angela and Howard team advantage.
Are you buying a property being sold by HUD? As a buyer, you can select Watson Title Services of North Florida as your settlement agent. Avoid having to deal with out-of-town companies. And make sure you get the world-class customer service of Watson Title Services that Angela and Howard have come to expect. Call them at 461-3220 when you're looking at buying a HUD property to ensure your purchase goes through as smoothly as possible. That's 461-3220. Angela and Howard do.
Hey, WBOB listeners, it's your realtor on the radio, Howard Vergalis of Watson Realty Corp. Angela and I don't just do the radio show, we are active realtors. When it's time to buy, we will interview you to determine your specific housing needs. Distance to work, style of home, school needs, distance to place of worship, kids' activities, lifestyles, number of bedrooms, budget, and so much more. In short, we do our very best to find you your perfect home. We won't waste your time showing you houses that don't fit your needs. Whether you're moving up, moving into your first home, or now an empty nester, you can trust us for the most important purchase of your life. It's what we do. It's what we'll do for you. Experience the Angela and Howard team advantage. Call us at 421-7950. Angela and I are reaching out to all of our fellow realtors. Do you recommend mortgage lenders that only have one or two basic vanilla types of mortgage products? So many home buyers need one of the many different flavors of mortgages that Christine Kennedy of Success Mortgage Partners offers. Don't lose a buyer because you can't get them qualified to purchase a home. From self-employed to no tax returns to one day out of bankruptcy to even bank statement only programs, you can even get your buyers up to a $2,000 tax credit every year of the loan. Give Christine a call at 514-6969. That's 514-6969.
This segment sponsored by Christine Kennedy of Success Mortgage Partners.
Welcome back, everyone. Howard here with Paul Howard of FloridaLandlord.com talking about, how to be a great landlord, how to be a successful landlord. Ask the right questions. And before the break, we were talking about fraud and how to make sure that the people that you lease your properties to tell you the right things, and what if they give wrong information about where they live? So, Paul, how do you find out whether or not they're telling you the right information about where they lived? Because they could put down their friend's address as where they lived, and the friend, you could call the friend, and the friend says, oh, yeah, they were great tenants, but
oh,
they
come
really
on, Howard,
never,
that never
lived.
Happens.
They really never lived with their friend. They just didn't want to tell you that they lived someplace and didn't pay their rent like they were supposed to. So what's the story there? They did fill out an application. They put down some wrong information there. What can you do to help them?
Well, basically, you're talking about tenant screening. That's the term for it. And the purpose of tenant screening is to verify the information that's given to a landlord in the interview and on the rental application. One of the reports that are available through the tenant screening system includes a previous address history. A lot of people don't realize that every place you've lived is made a part of your credit report. And when I look at a rental application, it says that they indicated that they lived at 123 Main Street, but it doesn't appear anywhere in the report. I know something's wrong. On the other hand, if I see one address on the rental application and they say that's the only places they've ever lived, but I see 10 other addresses on the address report, again, we've got something that we need to look into.
Okay. So your company does tenant screening?
Of course.
Yeah. So tell us about that. First of all, you have an application on your website.
We do.
Okay. So, and it's free to download that and anyone can use
it? There are probably 50 or 60 forms on the website and anybody can take whatever they like.
All right. So I'm a landlord. I can download your application and then I have various people that fill out the application and I've narrowed it down to two or three to submit to you. But before that, am I allowed to – I don't want to – well, let's back up. Let's say I get 10 different applications. Am I allowed to eliminate seven of them? Is there some law that I should take application fees and – look at all of them, or what? Are there any rules or laws that, regarding that?
I can't speak to law. I'm not a lawyer, but I know that you are required to consider each application one at a time, accept or reject each applicant as they come forward. That can be on the basis of an interview that would uncover things that makes them unqualified, or it could make them. We could find out that they are probably qualified. So we accept or reject one at a time. I also don't like the idea of just accepting lots of rental applications and application fees. I personally don't think that's cricket.
Okay. So let's say I only get two or three applications mm-hmm. and there is a fee that is charged and that fee somehow gets transferred to you to do the tenant screening.
Mm-hmm.
How is that done?
There is something called an application fee. It's very common. Some people charge the application fee up front to even get started. Others, like myself, prefer to charge the application fee only if we actually approve the rental. So there are different ways of doing it. But the idea behind the fee is to pay for the cost of screening the tenant, getting the reports, and that sort of thing.
So what does your screening do? What does it look at?
Well, the screening process begins first, of course, with the telephone interview, gathering information there. From there would be – the next would be the rental application, studying the rental application, calling previous landlords, doing everything that you can for free. And then if they have if the applicant still is in the running, then you go to tenant screening, which would include credit reports, criminal histories, eviction histories, previous address histories, all built in to the one big report. There you're going to be able to compare the information in those reports to what was given to you over the by the rental application.
Okay, so let's back up a minute. You said call the previous landlord.
Mm-hmm.
What should I ask him?
Oh, well, it's really some very basic questions. First of all, verify that they did live there approximately when. Did they pay the rent on time? Was there any serious damage in the property? Would you rent to them again?
So I think that's the big one. Would I rent to them again?
Sure.
So if they paid late, but they always paid, that's okay, isn't it?
That depends on the landlord. Some people say yes, some don't. That's up to you. But you certainly don't want to rent to someone who's chronically late and particularly more than, you know, a week or two, something like that.
Okay. That sounds good. So you're checking that they did live there, so you know that the applicant told the truth.
Not necessarily. You always want to talk to at least two previous landlords because, frankly, and then this may be sad, but the current landlord may not like this tenant at all and is trying to get rid of him and is going to tell you anything over the phone. The previous landlord is going to be more honest with you and tell you exactly what occurred and help you understand what you should do.
And that's why you're looking for the last two.
Yeah.
So someone might say, well, I lived at this place for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and is there any point in going to the second previous one?
Well, if they live there for 10 years, probably not.
Right.
But that's a good report card all by itself.
Yes. Okay. So you get a credit report, a credit score, you get a previous address history, and an eviction history.
National.
Now, one of the things that I found very, very interesting is that the eviction history that you get is dramatically different than the eviction history that the applicant provides me when I ask. And that is just so often the case. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about that? Do you look at the truth more important than the actual event, or what do you recommend? Because you're a landlord yourself.
Yes. Howard, if someone looks me right in the eye and says they've never been evicted and I find out they have, I that's a giant red flag for me, and I probably am going to disqualify them immediately because obviously I'm going to have problems in the future, and that's not good for me and it's not good for the tenant.
Okay. But what if they have been evicted?
Depends on the circumstances. If there's three evictions in the last 4 years, that's a big red flag. On the other hand, one eviction by itself is not necessarily a disqualifier. For example, someone may have had an illness that just wrecked their finances. There could be other circumstances like that. So we want to find out more about the why. And the previous landlord, of course, is going to be the one that can give us the best information on that.
Okay. Does it matter to you, and I realize these are personal opinions, but does it matter to you if they, I'm not sure how to ask this the right way, they got evicted, meaning they didn't pay up. So some people move out on their own, but if mm-hmm. they got evicted, mm-hmm. they couldn't pay and they stayed.
Well, that's right.
So, How does that factor into your thinking at all? And does the recency of the eviction play a part in your decision-making?
I don't know that it does. It depends on the specific circumstances surrounding that event. Again, if they are just chronically late and the landlord finally just gives up and files the eviction, that means one thing. On the other hand, if they were a good tenant, good paying tenant for 3 years, and then suddenly had a financial collapse that is now behind them, that can be, you know, quite a different situation.
Okay. So a lot has to do with the recency?
Sure.
Okay. So basically it's evaluating what you think about them. And an important thing from a landlord perspective, because you don't want the landlord to be sued, is treating people all the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you're treating people the same from a perspective of their race, their age, their nationality, and their criminal history. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about that a little bit?
I can. It'll be surprising for you.
Go ahead.
Well, criminal history is important. I don't want to rent to people who are murderers and bank robbers and that sort of thing. Unfortunately, in 2016, the fair housing laws were expanded under a legal principle called disparate impact, and it is now illegal to refuse to rent to a black person or a Latino if they have a felony conviction. More later.
All right. Well, sounds good. But that applies to Caucasian people as well.
No, it doesn't.
It only applies to...
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, that's interesting. I was not aware of that.
Yeah, that happened.
Sounds good. By the way, if you have questions for Paul, then give us a call, 222-8255. Interesting stuff. Again, his website is flalandlord.com. For all sorts of documents, and we're going to talk about some of those documents that are available because there are so many of them that you just wouldn't believe the documents that you can use to fix things that you're having problems with your tenants. So stay with us, everyone. We're going to be right back to talk about some really interesting stuff. Stay with us, everyone.
AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Colorado's 3rd District has a new lawmaker representing them. Lauren Boebert is a gun rights activist and the owner of Shooter's Grill in Rifle, Colorado. This week she spoke with the Salem Radio Network about what led her into politics. She says that she has a strong affinity for the Second Amendment and felt a need to stand up for the Constitution in her home state. When she set her sights on 5-term incumbent U.S. Representative Scott Tipton, Boebert picked up a stunning 2020 primary upset. Meanwhile, California is enacting a nighttime curfew starting today. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Captain Edward Ramirez says deputies are encouraging people to adhere to the new curfew guidelines, but for now will not be targeting offenders. The new restrictions say people should stay home between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. except for essential errands. That applies to several counties and most of the state's population. This is SRN News.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. You've heard me talk about the Rolex my grandfather gave me for graduating from college, but there's something else you need to know about Rolex watches from an official Rolex jeweler for over 60 years. If you own a Rolex, probably today more than ever before, if you need that Rolex serviced, you should only visit an official Rolex jeweler. In North Florida, there are 4, with Underwood's 3 stores, and Mayer's has 1. Anybody else claiming to work on Rolex has no direct access to parts, and the use of non-authentic Rolex parts jeopardizes your Rolex from both an authenticity and a value standpoint. At Underwoods, we have state-of-the-art Rolex repair shops, both designed and outfitted by Rolex and staffed by Rolex watch technicians trained by Rolex. And best of all, our shop is on-premise, so your Rolex will never leave Jacksonville, and our Rolex repairs carry a 2-year warranty. At Underwoods, in San Marco, Avondale, and the shops at Pontevedra.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church, invites you to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Sunday expository preaching of God's Word, 7 p.m. Wednesday Bible Q&A with fellowship meal. They're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road in the heart of Mandarin, just 1 mile south of I-295.
Make someone's day with a little help from Kuhn Flowers. Fresh flowers have a way of adding that extra bit of beauty to your home. They're also a great way to brighten someone's day. And what better way is there to show someone just how much you care than with a fresh bouquet of flowers? One thing's for sure, when you order flowers from Kuhn Flowers, you're going to get the brightest, most colorful, professionally arranged, long-lasting floral arrangements available. Call Kuhn Flowers today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or you can shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com. Kuhn Flowers, making memories since 1947.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Look for a 40% chance of showers through Sunday, mostly cloudy through tonight with a high today 74, overnight low 63. Going to be mostly sunny Sunday, high 76. Partly cloudy through Thursday night, low 60. With mostly sunny days Monday through Friday, highs in the mid to upper 70s.
This segment of Real Estate Radio with Angela and Howard is brought to you by Watson Title Services of Northeast Florida. For answers to your North Florida real estate questions, call into the show at 222-TALK. That's 222-8255.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Howard with Paul Howard of FloridaLandlord.com, talking about all sorts of things relating to a landlording. A little bit different twist than we normally do on the show, but so many of us are landlords or are tenants, so I thought we would do a show about that. It's his fourth time on the show over the 9 years that we have been on the air, and we were just talking about criminals. Can we eliminate criminals from being tenants of ours, even felons. So what's the deal on that, Paul? Can I eliminate criminals from renting one of my properties?
In most cases.
In most cases.
Mm-hmm.
So white collar, yes, no? White collar criminal?
Well, you've either been convicted of a felony or you haven't. So
okay.
the type of crime, I don't know that it matters that much. In 2016, HUD Secretary Castro expanded or augmented the fair housing laws with respect to criminals. And the rationale goes something like this. Because the majority of crime, this is his words, not mine, because the majority of crime is committed by blacks and Latinos, it is therefore a fair housing violation, that is, discrimination on the basis of race, to refuse to rent to a convicted felon who is black or Latino. The exceptions would be if there was property damage in the crime, physical harm, and also sex offenders are excluded. So if you want to rent to a person who has, let's say he's a drug dealer, he's been sent to jail two or three times for dealing drugs, but there's been no property damage and no physical harm was done, then you cannot refuse to rent to him for just that one reason. Now, frankly, most of the time, convicted felons have a hard time getting jobs, and there are income issues. There are other issues that might come into play that would be possible to use those to avoid that tenant, but not the criminal history itself.
Interesting. Wow. Hey, let's talk about the other end. Let's talk about collection of rents. It's always a difficult thing to do. You know, sometimes the rent checks or rent money orders are mailed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the landlord goes and picks up the rent, whether it be cash or money order or check. But is there a better way, and can you help with that?
Oh, there are, just in the last few years, there's just been innumerable new ways of collecting rent. Early on, we, for example, set up a ViStar account, and we just had our tenants go to the bank and make a deposit into that account. I've heard people say that they are uncomfortable with that, but you can put money in. You can't take it out. So it turned out to be a very, very convenient way for both us and for the tenants. There are other means now, different softwares and what have you, that allow the tenant to pay using their cell phone, computer, anything like that. The idea of going to their property and picking up a money order or picking up a check, I think those days are gone.
Okay. But you have something on your website about collecting rent. Is that correct?
We do. And it's many of the things that we've just talked about. It's actually the names of the various softwares that exist. And they're very, very affordable. I mean, the one that we're highlighting right now, I think the fee is something like $3 for the rent to be remitted directly to the landlord's bank account. It's very convenient.
Very convenient. All right. Very good. All right, let's talk about evictions.
Mm.
You hear on the news, Angela and I listen to the news every morning to see what's going on. And they're always talking about, oh, there's an eviction moratorium. And it started out being, oh, it's through August. Then it's extended through September. And now it's through the end of the year. So landlords cannot evict non-paying tenants. Mm. What's the real deal on that?
Fortunately, most of that has come to an end. In Florida, Governor DeSantis established a moratorium that just simply said no evictions until further notice. That ended in at the end of July. And we've been doing evictions, big, huge numbers of evictions ever since then. I mean, after all, there were probably 5 months or so of backlog on the evictions. After that, the CDC established a new guideline that if a person has can prove or can claim to have diminished income because of a COVID-related incident, either the employer is closed or they're laid off or what have you, then they don't have to pay the rent for that particular month. That comes to an end at the end of this year. But frankly, with a 7% unemployment rate, that's really very, very, very limited now.
Now, you said the CDC, the Center for Disease Control.
Yes.
Now, they don't have to pay their rent. Mm. Does that mean they're excused from the rent?
Not at all. It means that when this moratorium is lifted, all of the unpaid rent is due and payable immediately.
And when does...
So there is no forgiveness of rent under any of these circumstances.
So it's one thing that the governor had an eviction moratorium. Mm-hmm. It's a separate thing for the CDC. And the CDC expires December 31st.
Right. And then there's also something called the CARES Act, which Congress put through in April, I believe it was. And basically that applied to properties that have mortgages that are backed by the federal government or Section 8 programs, that sort of thing. And there's too much to get into on the radio, but basically there were restrictions on what could be done in those cases. But again, it's not draconian. It was the one that really hurt us the most was Governor DeSantis ruling that there could be no evictions at all during that, or no evictions for non-payment of rent during that period. And then, of course, he finally lifted it.
So if I'm an individual landlord, which I am, Angela and I owned a few houses, not very many at all, and I have someone that's not paying, which I have right now because you're handling an eviction for me. So let's talk about that. One of the things, one of the big things that your organization does is handle eviction. So I don't have to go to the courthouse. I don't have to do anything. You do that for us. So tell us about what that part of your business is.
Evictions are not terribly difficult. Generally speaking, they are right now because I don't know if people realize this, but the courthouse is all but closed. You can't go to the courthouse and just walk in and file an eviction. You've got to make an appointment. You've got to, it's very complicated. Our service is all electronic. We prepare the eviction forms for you. We send them to you to be electronically signed. We file them with the court electronically. Everything is electronic and it's quick and painless for the landlord. And, I think it's probably the most important service that we provide. Certainly the most, it keeps us the most busy.
And that, of course, is not free because it's...
it's not free, but it's really very, very inexpensive. And for someone who does an eviction once every 2 or 3 years, it's an invaluable service.
Yes, and I've used you 3 or 4 times over the past few years to do that. We have one in process right now where someone hasn't paid in several months, so... Hopefully, we'll get that resolved very, very shortly.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is a smooth process. And what a landlord cannot do is lock somebody out.
Oh, no.
They can't go in and just, you know, when the person is at work, just go into the unit and take their furniture out. They can't turn off the electricity. There are so many things that a landlord cannot do. And it's so interesting to me. This is my getting on a soapbox here and saying this stuff, but I'm going to. So a person can go to a store and steal a steak. And that's criminal. They can steal $50 worth of steak or groceries and they can go to jail. But a person can live in a home for a month or 2 or 3 or 4, not pay rent, and they are not a criminal. But they are really stealing from their landlord. And it actually costs the landlord via an eviction to get that person kicked out of that particular dwelling unit.
It does. I'm not here to say whether that's fair or not, but you're right. That's exactly how it is.
And that is just not a fair thing. So anyway, I'm going to get off the soapbox. When we come back after the break, we're going to talk about a little bit more about your website and all the valuable things that are available. And by the way, you have a hotline. People can call you anytime. You have an 800 number, not that you need it here locally, and ask you questions about tenants and landlords, and you are there to answer your question. And you even answered me last week while you were on the golf course.
Well, this is a labor of love. We really do enjoy helping landlords and hotline telephone support may be the most important.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
One of the most critical parts of buying or selling your home is the very last process. That's the closing process. Angela and I recommend Watson Title Services. They have the experience to handle any issue that can come up, and there is never an upfront fee to the seller. Whether you are using a realtor with the sale of your home or not, always ask for Watson Title Service to handle your closing. We do. Call them at 461-3220. That's Watson Title Services.
To my realtor listeners out there, do you have sellers that want to sell a condo? Do you have buyers that want to buy a condo? Have you been told that the condo is not financeable, not on the list, or require 25% down? Did you know that there's a 3% down conventional financing for condos that are not on the list? Call Christine Kennedy at 904-514-6969 to see how you can get your condo financed for as little as 3% down.
Angela Walker and Howard Vergalis of Watson Realty Corp not only come to you every Saturday morning, but they would also like to work with you when you need them the most. That is, when you need to buy or sell a home. They pride themselves in giving you their very best effort every day and in every way. There are many realtors in the First Coast to choose from. Let them show you the Howard and Angela team advantage. Call them at 421-7950 or email them at realestateradio@yahoo.com. This segment sponsored by Christine Kennedy of Success Mortgage Partners.
Welcome back, everyone. Howard here with Paul Howard of FloridaLandlord.com. And I encourage all of you to that are landlords to go onto FloridaLandlord.com and see all of the different information that they have. It's a great website. And one of the things that's really valuable about it, if you're thinking about becoming a landlord, is that you need to get educated. By the way, one of the ways that you can get educated is if you have a question, they have a hotline. And the number, Paul, is
1-800-809-1530.
All right. And that's on the website as well. And again, the website is Florida, F-L-A, landlord.com. One of the things on the website is a bunch of free forms that you can download. Everything from a telephone script to for pre-screening, to rental applications, to a previous landlord report, an application worksheet, how to do security deposit disclosures, and something really, really important. If you have a home that you're going to rent that was built before 1978, that home may have lead paint, and whether or not it does or does not, it is a law that you must disclose to your tenant that it may have lead paint in it. You must disclose that and have the tenant sign a document. It's called a lead-based paint disclosure. And not only the disclosure, but a whole brochure on what the effects of lead paint may be. So both the lead paint disclosure and the brochure are the documents that are on his website. There's a move-in checklist where the tenant and the landlord fill out what's in every single room if there are problems, a no-smoking addendum. There are sample leases. And, you know, what if there's a problem after the tenant moves in? Like, let's say the tenant hasn't paid their rent. What do you do?
Well, you should have a company policy on that. And by that, I mean a policy that governs you rather than the tenant. My policy says the rent is due on the first and it's late on the second. When a person is behind on the rent and you want to insist on being paid, you begin with what's called a 3-day notice. It's available at the website. The 3-day notice is actually provided for us by statute, by the law. And it basically says that you're indebted to me for a certain amount of money. You have 3 days to pay or quit. And quit is legalese for you must leave my house. At the end of those 3 days, if they haven't paid, you have the option then of filing a formal eviction in county court.
Okay, so that notice is on the website, that form is. And if there's a problem at the house, let's say they put in a swimming pool, an above-ground pool, and they weren't allowed to, you can send them a notice of a right to cure. That's on the website. If they send you a bad check, there's a notice of a bad check. If you're going to terminate the lease, there's a termination of lease. There's a notice of non-renewal. Now, let's say you as the landlord want to go in and change the filter on the air conditioner. Can you just go in anytime you want?
No, but the tenant cannot unreasonably withhold access either. And so there's several criteria that come into play. First of all, the landlord can go into the property immediately if he suspects an emergency. Someone's inside screaming, smoke coming out of the windows, that sort of thing. Second, you can go in with 12 hours written notice. Third, go in to perform what's called scheduled maintenance. So I may have a policy that says I'm going to replace the air conditioning filters between 9 and 12 first Monday of every month. That's a scheduled maintenance, and if the tenant is not there, you're still able to go inside. And for me, that really is a very fair system, it seems to me.
Okay. And at renewal, there's a way to even indicate if the rent is going to be increased. You even have a form for that as well. So there's a plethora of forms available on your website that are available for a landlord to use with their tenant.
One of the most important that you touched on is the 7-day warning notice. That is, what do I do when my tenant is doing something they shouldn't? That's actually called a non-compliance. An example would be they move someone in that's not approved, or they have animals that are not approved, or that sort of thing. And the way you remedy that is by giving them that 7-day warning notice, and it tells them, you have 7 days to cure this problem. If you don't cure the problem, your lease is immediately terminated, and they have to leave. If they don't leave, then you can evict. It goes on to say that even though you do cure the problem in 7 days, if that same noncompliance reoccurs anytime within the next 12 months, the lease is immediately terminated, and you can file the eviction immediately. There's no need to renotice them. It's a very powerful communication tool for noncompliance.
Well, let's give an example of that. So let's say on the application, the tenant or prospective tenant says they don't have any dogs. And then you find out after doing one of your inspections or changing the filter that you hear a dog barking and you look in the backyard and there is a 50-pound pit bull in the backyard. So you contact the tenant and say, that dog is not allowed. You have to get rid of the dog. So you send them a notice to get rid of the dog, and their response is, well, that's an emotional support animal.
Well, if they just say it's an emotional support animal, that doesn't mean it is.
Okay.
Emotional support animals are very, very controversial for a number of reasons, and then not just affecting landlords. We've got an article on the website that shows a woman coming off of an airplane with a potbelly pig as her emotional support animal. There's others. But in this case, if the person has had the animal certified and has a certificate that says that is an emotional support animal, we must, as landlords, honor that.
Is there anything that says that the person is in need of an emotional support animal?
That's not for me to say. That's what that emotional support certificate is all about.
Well, that just says that the animal is...
No, it says that the person needs the emotional support animal. It's more about the person than the animal.
Okay, so that certificate is from a medical professional. So we are allowed to ask that they provide some documentation from a medical professional that they need some support. We can't ask the details of it. We just need documentation from a medical professional that they need.
When a person applies for emotional support protection like that, they eventually receive a certificate that says that. Unfortunately, that costs about $100 to get on the internet now. So I don't know what the qualifications are. If you have to be a medical professional to give that certificate or not. But if they have a certificate and it's valid, then the landlord has to honor it.
Okay. So that is there, do you know if there's a maximum number of animals? What if they say they have three animals and they're all emotional support animals or all service animals?
I don't know, and I hope I never face that.
It is a very difficult one. I know that there's the American with Disabilities Act that's involved mm-hmm, here. Mm-hmm. There's the Fair Housing Act that's mm-hmm. involved here. And sometimes you may need to get an attorney to be involved here. But mm-hmm. that's why you need a background check, too, mm-hmm. to find out from the previous landlord whether they had any pets and whether they but irrespective of whether they've had animals or not, you can ask the tenant whether or not their animal has ever bitten anyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are all sorts of things, and that's why you want to find out as much as you can about doing a background check on the individual.
Let me add one more thing to the idea of finding the pit bull in the backyard. Let's pretend that it's not an emotional support animal. If you don't move quickly to require that tenant to get rid of that animal, eventually you have basically given them permission to have the animal, and you're stuck with it. And if that pit bull gets out and hurts somebody, guess who's going to get sued?
I agree. Let's talk about security deposits. Mm-hmm. Is there a requirement to have a security deposit?
No.
Or to put it in a specific account or anything like that?
If you collect a security deposit, and you don't have to, but it's good practice, you do have to put it into a bank account, and you have to disclose where that bank account is at.
Okay.
That has to be in the lease.
Okay. Do you recommend a specific amount for the security deposit?
The most common thing is a security deposit at the same amount as the rent. So if you had a $1,000 rent, it would be a $1,000 security deposit. One of the things I absolutely urge people or landlords not to do, it's common practice for landlords to collect first month's rent, security deposit, and last month's rent. So in my example of $1,000, it would be $1,000 first month's rent, security deposit, and last month's rent. The problem with collecting the last month's rent is you can't evict them for non-payment of rent. They've already paid the last month. I would prefer to see a $2,000 security deposit in that case and $1,000 a month, a first month's rent. You've got the same amount of security, but you've also got the leverage.
Interesting. I never thought of that. Okay. Well, good information. All right. By the way, you have monthly meetings.
We do. We don't have one in December. We meet the second Tuesday of every month at 12:30 at the Golden Corral on Southside Boulevard. It's free to everyone. Buy your own lunch, of course. But it's a great place for us to share questions, answers, what have you, amongst ourselves. It's a lot of fun.
All right. And again, to call you and ask questions, it's 800-809-1530.
Mm-hmm.
The website is floridalandlord.com, and Florida is FLA. It's Paul Howard. He will answer your questions because he's got the hotline. They have monthly meetings. They have forms and documents. He can handle evictions. He can do your pre-screening. He can help you with collecting rent, anything about that. By the way, the Van Wees are on tap to tell you what's going on. They say it's been a so-so week. Thanksgiving is this week. I know some of you will not be with all of your family, but think about all the blessings that we do have. If you're listening to me, you're alive. That's a great thing. We live in a great country, and we'll be back with you next week. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.